From a quarantine studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As the numbers of Americans being laid off in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic skyrockets into the millions, food insecurity for the most vulnerable people is rising just as fast. Stepping into the vacuum of government assistance are local food banks that are now facing the challenge of mobilizing volunteers at a time of required social distancing. In Los Angeles, California, where this program is based, the organization Urban Partners LA is leading the way with a weekly food distribution program that puts 25,000 pounds of food into the hands of those who need it. One of them is my guest, Trinity Tran. She volunteers with Urban Partners Los Angeles. She's also a lead organizer on the issue of public banking in California. Welcome to the program, Trinity.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you for having me again.
So as far as I understand, there's been so far one food distribution since, of course, the quarantining and the social distancing began. That was this past Saturday. There's another one coming up this coming Saturday. Tell me, describe to me what took place last Saturday.
Yeah, so as the pandemic worsened, the food bank was temporarily shuttered the week before last because the executive director, 90-year-old Rochelle McAdam, who is also one of my neighborhood heroes, had to stay home in self-isolation as a high-risk senior. So we knew we had to quickly mobilize to keep the doors open so that we can continue serving to the hundreds of people who wait in line every week for food to feed their family members, hundreds more waiting at home for a meal. So our team stepped up and to oversee the operations, coordinate the logistics, the distribution, and volunteers for the program. Last Saturday, our first volunteer team arrived at 5 a.m. To start packing bags of groceries and carrying them up to the floor where we distribute food. By 6 a.m., our second team arrived. This was before sunrise, still dark outside. There was already a line forming halfway down the block. So we had a crowd control security team help enforce the 6 feet social distancing. And we had our other volunteer team help preparing bags for distribution. This entire program is run by an incredible network of dedicated volunteers and as well as a very small minimal staff who helps organize and facilitates the distribution of over 25,000 to 30,000 pounds of food every week. And since the pandemic happened, we are bracing for the impact. We're preparing to scale up the operation this weekend and the weekends and months to come as food insecurity is hitting this neighborhood hard.
Let me ask you about how this is happening, because of course people in California and of course in many states in the country are being told to stay at home, and I can imagine several people who are watching this or listening to this thinking, I would love to help, but I'm not supposed to be outside. I'm not supposed to be risking spreading the infection if I have it. And I may not know if I have it. I mean, it seems as though it is a risky venture.
Well, food banks are considered essential services. They are a grocery store for low-income people, and that's how we are still able to keep our doors open and operate. You know, we're assuming the same risk as cashiers at grocery stores, as delivery drivers, you know, other working-class people who are still out there trying to keep this world moving. We are taking safety precautions. We are recommending, we're trying to secure as many masks and gloves and hand sanitizers as possible, but because of this is a global pandemic, supplies are dwindling. So we are doing the best we can to keep our volunteers as safe as possible. But we are currently raising funds so that we can access additional safety measures.
Right. I mean, grocery store workers might feel compelled to keep working because they have to put food on their table, but the volunteers like yourself who are doing this incredible work are doing it because you care about the community. And I mean, I have to say just personally, I'm deeply humbled by that.
Okay.
So So let's talk about where the donations are coming from. You said 25,000 pounds of food a week. That's a tremendous amount of food, which is quite heartening considering that grocery stores are now scrambling with empty shelves. Even if you do risk going into a grocery store with the adequate protection, chances are you're faced with empty shelves.
Is that this program, Groceries for Our Neighbors Food Bank program out of Urban Partners Los Angeles, started over 25 years ago as response to the LA riots, which completely decimated the areas around the First Unitarian Church and surrounding neighborhoods. So community members came together to form essentially a mutual aid network to help alleviate the strain on low-income families caused by poverty and limited access to food. So within the past two decades, we formed a program that is now part of the HopeNet distribution network. We are the largest distribution, food bank distribution center within the HopeNet network, which then gets its food from the Los Angeles Food Bank. So we already had the infrastructure in place to receive the 25 to 30,000 pounds of food. Every Friday, that food is brought off the trucks and then brought into the church, which then we have a team of volunteers to help organize and facilitate that and get it ready for Saturday. So we already had the infrastructure in place to receive the food. But you know, as this pandemic takes its toll globally, you know, we're bracing for the worst. This is inevitably will affect global food supply chains. So, you know, we are already getting emails from food banks that this pandemic has affected the food supply. But, you know, we are going to continue feeding as many people as possible with the amounts of food that we have.
So you mentioned that this organization was founded years ago, and we should, of course, remember food insecurity didn't begin with the coronavirus. How critically important is it for us to frame that issue? Now, you know, politicians are thinking about food insecurity, but they seem to not have cared as much when there were hungry people before the pandemic.
Yep. At the front lines of all crises, those who take the hardest hit and the heaviest toll will always be the poor and the working class, people who don't have access to healthcare, housing, income. For the first time in our program's existence, people are waiting in line at midnight to receive food at 7 a.m. And more people are going hungry as jobs are lost. Over 3 million people just filed for unemployment this past week. Yeah. You know, as jobs are lost, as work hours are reduced, as the overall social safety net of society completely shatters, people are going to become increasingly desperate. You know, we have families that have children who rely on school lunches who will struggle, seniors who are in self-isolation and may not be able to get to stores. We have the poor who are at risk because of pre-existing conditions, because of inadequate health care. So the realities revealed by this COVID-19 crisis is a larger indictment of a failed system. You know, it is unconscionable to have people waiting in line for food, let alone 7 hours for a bag of groceries. And this pandemic is only going to exacerbate already strained, already fragile conditions for the poorest, for the sickest, for the most vulnerable. So we need to have a much deeper conversation about how we can really address these sorts of emergency assistance that food banks provide, because at the end of the day, they provide temporary relief, but they are not the answer. We have to solve hunger, and that requires us to look at the symptoms and the larger issues of poverty and inequality.
Isn't it amazing how politicians immediately came together to talk about needing an economic stimulus package that measured in the trillions of dollars, when just a few weeks or months ago, the idea that expanding a Medicare system to include all Americans, which would necessarily cost a few trillion over 10 years, was unthinkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you know, times of crisis is when change happens. And we are in times which call for extraordinary measures. So now is the moment for bold and urgent progressive solutions, from universal health care to expanding social welfare programs, paid sick leave, moratorium on evictions and rent hikes, even canceling medical debt and student debt, living wages, job security. These are the types of policy principles that we need to address to be able to eradicate the root of the problem of poverty and hunger. You know, when we hear about crisis relief efforts, we forget that millions of people have already been living in a state of crisis for a very long time, and it should not have taken a pandemic to raise these issues. So I hope that we use this moment wisely. You know, our actions now, our ability to be able to guide this moment is going to impact the course of humanity at large. And there is a real and incredible potential right now to build a new economy that serves the people, that serves our planet, you know, rather than the short-term profits of corporations and their shareholders.
So much has happened just in the last few days alone. I'm wondering if you can give me a sense of what those recipients of the food assistance said to you last Saturday, and whether you expect a much bigger crowd this coming Saturday.
You know, many of them were very thankful for our service, because they've been depending it on this for many, many years. They're not just standing in line for this. Often they have extended families living at home waiting for this food. This Saturday, we are expecting much longer lines, because we are serving meat and chicken. Chicken and fish this Saturday. And, you know, when it comes to organizing on the streets, it's not about, you know, social media. Word of mouth gets around. And once people realize that we have meat and we have perishable food, the line always increases. So we are bracing for a much, much longer line this Saturday. But we, you know, that is why we're doing a call to action for volunteers to come help us, help manage the line. Last Saturday, the line wrapped all around the block, and we're expecting even longer lines this Saturday.
And I imagine that as the coronavirus infections that we know of have dramatically increased just in the last 4 or 5 days, that the need for social distancing is going to be even greater. Do volunteers have access to personal protective equipment, hand sanitizer? I'm assuming you're going to be enforcing the 6-foot standing apart rule.
Yes, all organizers have masks and gloves, and we do have a small supply of hand sanitizers and disinfectant wipes, but of course we're always looking for more, and we are enforcing a social distancing guideline for both recipients and volunteers. But because of the nature of the fast-moving, kind of chaotic nature of distribution work, sometimes it's hard to keep the 6-foot distance as we're moving boxes and bags around. But that's, you know, we are trying our hardest to make this process as safe as possible for all parties.
You are doing this food banking in the absence of government assistance. Isn't it the job of our government to ensure in times of crisis that no one goes hungry?
Absolutely. But, you know, what we're doing is reminiscent of mutual aid networks that have existed, you know, time immemorial, what the Black Panther Party did with their free groceries program and their free breakfast program was a powerful example of these sorts of self-reliant networks that are centered on cooperation and collective care. You know, our programs with Urban Partners Los Angeles was partly inspired by the Panthers programs. The free groceries program and free breakfast for children program were two of their community service programs run by the party. You know, in addition to groceries for our neighbors, we also have the Without Limit tutoring program, which offers free math and tutoring to underprivileged kids. And a few years ago, we initiated the free breakfast for children program inspired by the Panthers party to offer children from low-income communities breakfast before class. And, you know, it is, of course, the government's responsibility to care for its people. But with the lacking of government programs, you know, it always will comes down to the duty of activists and revolutionaries to be able to directly address the needs of the people in terms of housing and food and safety. You know, this is our direct response to the war on poverty. If the government cannot provide these basic needs, you know, we, even with minimal resources, will always find a way to take care of as many people as possible.
Now, the Republicans and conservatives and President Trump and the Lieutenant Governor of Texas have essentially said that it's so important to open the economy back up because, the stock market losing money is such a huge crisis that they want to get people back to work as soon as possible, and that it is okay if older people die as a result because they're not productive members of society anyway. I mean, there are literally people saying this right now, saying that lives of, those unproductive members of society are worth losing in order to keep the stock market afloat. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think the what's happening with Trump and the Republicans is coming from very sadly a place of self-interest rather than consideration of, the population as a whole. But then it comes down to us as grassroots, as organizers, as awake and conscious individuals to continue taking care of our community, through these sorts of mutual aid programs, despite the government's ability to do that.
So, this is also a time when, and because you're somebody who's not just an activist and a volunteer, but also a political activist, I wanted to ask you what you think about the fact that we are at a time when so many of the policies that had been dismissed as too far left and socialist that had been espoused and still are being espoused by presidential candidate Bernie Sanders have, kind of become more relevant than ever now. If we had a Medicare for all system in place, just on the healthcare front, we would be a country that is so much better prepared for this crisis than now. But there's so many other issues like raising the federal minimum wage, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Now is our moment to take a look at the root of so many of the problems facing our society. Being able to address universal health care, and paid sick leave and canceling medical debt and student debt. These are the types of progressive policies that we need to implement on a large scale level so that we can take care of all of our people. And it's taken a moment of crisis for us to really, look at how fragile the system is and how inadequate it is to be able to address these times of emergency. And so I hope that we do we use this moment wisely and take a much deeper look at the sort of deep systemic transformations that are needed to be able to create a sustainable society.
So this Saturday, as you mentioned, you're expecting much longer lines. You have perishable food that you will be distributing in addition to the stuff that has a longer shelf life. I assume that your need for volunteers is going to be greater as well.
Yes, last Saturday we had around 50 volunteers who helped distribute over. We were giving out double bags, so that ended up being about 1,000 bags to over 500 people waiting in line. This Saturday, we're still testing our operational hours to figure out how we can best serve as many people as possible. So this Saturday, we are starting distribution at 7 a.m. and it goes till 12 p.m. Most of our recipients are in line earlier, as I mentioned earlier in the show. We had people waiting in line at midnight to receive their bag of groceries at 7 a.m. So it ask volunteers if you can show up and help on the from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. That would be such incredible help for this program and the hundreds of people who will be needing this food assistance.
So where can people find out the details, how they can connect up? Are you just calling for them to show up, or do they need to connect up with somebody before they show up?
They can sign up on our volunteer form, bit.ly Lee at UPLA Food Bank, UPLA Food Bank, or email us at urbanpartnersla@gmail.com.
That's urbanpartners@gmail.com. And that's, of course, for our Southern California audience. We have an audience around the country as well. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how the model that Urban Partners LA has adopted can be adopted elsewhere, or did the fact that there was an existing infrastructure in place, you know, was that a big advantage, that existing food banks are going to be better equipped around the country to do what you're doing?
Yes, there are existing, there are thousands of food banks that have been in operation for years and decades. But what we're seeing is a lot of the people who volunteer and help the operations for these food banks are seniors who are now at are high risk and now at home in self-isolation. So the governor here in California, Governor Newsom, has mobilized the National Guard to come in and help some of these food banks continue their operations. So if people are interested in helping out food banks, check in with your local food bank to see if they need help.
For the Los Angeles audience, again, it's urbanpartnersla.org is the website. If you want to volunteer for this Saturday's food distribution, it's urbanpartnersla@gmail.com, where you can send an email. Are you going to try to continue this food distribution every Saturday till the crisis starts to ease?
We're going to continue this every Saturday, and we're already in talks about expanding it to Friday if needed. So we're going to continue to monitor the distribution and try to meet the needs of the community as best as we can.
Well, Trinity, good luck out there. Thank you for all you do and for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Trinity Tran is a volunteer with Urban Partners Los Angeles, and we've been discussing how this organization is able to distribute thousands of pounds of food during this pandemic to those who need it in Southern California. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes, and now Spotify.